our present and closing conference on the great Marian writers is on the American author, historian, scholar, Thomas J. Walsh, on Our Lady of Fatima. Before we start the conference formally, I might say that there is no single shrine of Our Lady about which I should know more than Fatima. My Jesuit rector in Rome during my graduate studies was Pope Pius XII's appointee, who for years studied, analyzed, investigated, and researched in Fatima, except for her years of investigation, Fatima would not be an approved revelation in the Catholic Church. And for months, he shared with me, we specialized in our recreation periods, he telling me all that he knew and is reporting to the Holy Father about Fatima. I assure you, Fatima is authentic. By way of introduction, I believe some words are necessary to speak in our closing conference on Our Lady of Fatima. By now, several hundred books have been written in various languages on Fatima. Indeed, on every aspect of the events which took place between May 13th and October 13th, 1917. And the one thing that I want to especially leave with you, it is those months and what happened then, as Father Don East, the Holy See's investigator of Fatima, told me, it is those events that form the heart and the core of Fatima. Even though by now, over 70 years of further communications have been made by one of the seers where the Catholic Church officially approves and confirms by her authority is the events from May to October of 1917. Our choice out of a score of authors that I might have chosen for speaking on this subject is a famous American historian, William T. Walsh. There are so many authors by the name of Walsh. You better make sure you have both the first name and the initial correct. It is William T. his lifespan from 1891 to 1940 when he died covered the actual period of the Fatima apparitions. He was the outstanding American specialist in historical research on the Iberian Peninsula, covering Spain and Portugal. He was a meticulous scholar, an excellent writer, and a thoroughly Orthodox Catholic. For the production of his book, Our Lady of Fatima, he investigated the sources, held extensive interviews with all the people associated with Fatima, and then published what has become, I believe, the most widely selling volume of readable writing on the actual events that took place in 1917. As we approach the subject of Fatima, suppose we give a preview of how we plan to cover the subject. It will be under four aspects. First, what is unique about the original apparitions, its original seers, and then subsequent developments? What is the uniqueness of Fatima? Second, how does Fatima differ from Lourdes? Third, what is the central message of Fatima? And then, as always, what are some important implications for our own personal and social spiritual lives? First then, the unique features of Fatima. There are a number of distinctive features of Fatima that make it absolutely unique in the history of modern Marian revelations, and then the corresponding devotion to the Blessed Virgin as Our Lady of Fatima. I should add that for years, during my teaching of theology to my Jesuit scholastics and priests, every year I held seminars on revelations, plural. Genuine revelations and spurious revelations. And I had the members of the seminar spend 4 to 5 months investigating whatever revelation they were to report on. I assure you, in my life, both personally and through my friendship with the Holy See's official investigator of Fatima, and with the work that my Jesuit students did in further investigating, I've never done so, but I could easily give a 2-semester course, 3 classes a week on Fatima. First distinctive feature. The Fatima events of 1917 occurred between May and October of that year. October the 17th was almost to the day of the rise of the Communist Revolution. Communism started in the world as communism in October 1917. We've been saying God's providence works on a schedule. This is right on time. Second, no Marian revelations or the scene of their occurrence or the message of their teaching in 1900 years of the church's history has been more widely and frequently and personally and formally approved by the bishops of Rome than those of Fatima. Number three, no seers, that's the church's official term for the recognized persons who have witnessed what are called private revelations. And just for a moment, we might inject an explanation. In theological language, the church distinguished between one, public revelation, and private revelations, plural, by saying public revelation is that which God revealed from the dawn of human history until the end of the first century of the Christian era, found in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. Why is it called public? Because that revelation is necessary, and the word is necessary for the salvation and sanctification of the human race. All others, where they are genuine and thus recognized by the church, are called private, even though they may be, as Fatima, widely publicized. Watch it, because these revelations are useful, but not absolutely necessary for the salvation and sanctification of the world. And one of the norms the church uses to identify authentic private revelations, no matter how widely publicized they may become, is their consistency and agreement with the public revelation which closed with the apostolic age. Back to our number three. No seers of authentic Marian revelations have lived, on the one hand, shorter lives, and one among them, in 1900 years, has lived a longer life. Than Francesco and Jacinta, who died shortly after, and Lucy, who is still living. Lucy, my calculation is now in her 83rd year, and still, from all reports, in good health. Again, God must have reasons. Number 4, about the uniqueness of Fatima. No seers of authenticate Marian revelations have been more widely investigated because the key to the authenticity of genuine revelations, the key is the personality of the one or ones who allegedly have had communications from on high. Over the years, I've worked with church officials in the investigation of alleged revelations as far west as California and Bayside in New York. The main thing to look for in an alleged mystic is the person, him or herself, and especially their virtues, and among their virtues especially to humility and obedience. There are now over 40 volumes of still unpublished investigatory documentation, and it's still going on. Unique in the church's revelational history. Number 5. Fatima is also unique in its phenomenal impact on the universal church. There have been, over the centuries, many approved revelations, especially of Our Lady. There is none that is more widely and deeply influence the world. No Marian revelation has had as wide an influence on the universal church as Fatima. Societies have spread, I've checked the figures, to over 100 countries. Organizations built on the revelations of Fatima approved by the church now number at one society numbers over 20 million signed members. For just a moment, I'd like to make a personal observation. Dealing as I do so much necessarily with priests and religious, I should point out that I don't believe that Fatima as nearly as deeply penetrated the spiritual lives of priests and religious as it has the lives of the faithful laity. And I assure you, they are not just the simple, unlettered folk. Sixth, what I call unique feature. No shrine of Our Lady built on private revelations approved by the Church has been more often personally visited by the bishops of Rome. Number 7. Fatima is further unique in having become part of world history. It was on May 13, 1981, that the assassination attempt on the life of Pope John Paul II occurred, as we know in Rome. But dates should be memorized. If I can give all of you an assignment on which I won't be able to quiz you, may I suggest, as part of your spiritual life for the future, start memorizing important dates in the history of the Catholic Church. Everything we memorize becomes part of our mind. May 13th, 1981. As we know, the Pope's life was spared. His would-be assassin was arrested and convicted. And after a long convalescence, the Pope visited his would-be murderer. You may have seen pictures of the Pope and his would-be murderer. It is, I think, in this context worth quoting in full the statement of Pope John Paul, which he issued on Saturday, May the 17th, 4 days after his attempted murder. It was read over the loudspeaker to the thousands of people standing in the Piazza of St. Peter's, praying for the Pope's recovery. Here's what the Pope said. Praised be Jesus Christ. Incidentally, this phrase, Laudator Jesus Christus, praised be Jesus Christ, is the favorite salutation when Slav people like myself enter the house. I never remember, never, entering the house with my widowed mother there, or she entering the house when I was there, without the first greeting being, praised be Jesus Christ. Centuries of that custom by millions of Slav people, pardon me, I commend to you. The opening reading, praised be Jesus Christ. beloved brothers and sisters, I know that during these days, and especially in this hour of the Regina Caeli, remember, it was the Easter season, you are united with me with deep emotion. I thank you for your prayers, and I bless you all. I am particularly close to the two persons wounded together with me. I pray for that brother of ours who shot me and whom I sincerely have pardoned. United with Christ, priest and victim, I offer my sufferings for the church and the world. To you, Mary, I repeat, totus tuus ego sum. I belong entirely to you. This message was dictated from the hospital in Rome, where the Pope, people say, miraculously recovered from his would-be fatal wounds. So much for the uniqueness of Fatima. Number two. Fatima compared with Lourdes. Fatima differs from Lourdes in its stress, not on bodily healing, but on the healing of souls. Memorize that. This is the message of the Vicars of Christ in speaking about Our Lady of Fatima. At Lourdes, Our Lady certainly spoke of the need for conversion from sin. But as now over 100 years of history have shown, the main focus of Lourdes is, if you wish, on Our Lady's practice of the corporal works of mercy. Whereas at Fatima, the main theme is the conversion of sinners. That is why the first time I think I'm saying it this way publicly, with the encouragement of the Holy See, we've organized an association of permanent deacons called the Servants of Fatima. They vow themselves to promote devotion to Our Lady, devotion to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and loyalty to the Vicar of Christ. If there is one thing the world needs today, is a greater knowledge and love of the Mother of God. Even a restoration of faith among would-be Catholics in the real presence, and surely a fidelity to the successor of Saint Peter. Moreover, contrasting Lourdes and Fatima. At Fatima, the Blessed Virgin associates sin with God's justice. Of course, God is merciful. But we dare not forget also the divine attribute of His justice. Justice in rewarding our practice of virtue, and justice in punishing our sins. Sin is an offense against God. God punishes sin in this life in order to bring the sinners back to God. Anytime you hear or read about big sinners suffering, thank God. Recite the Te Deum. Hallelujah. It is God's way of shaking sinners from their spiritual stupor and returning to God. But, and Fatima couldn't be clearer, God punishes sin also in the life to come with purgatory. In one religion program after another, I'm told in the United States that children never, I'm further told, never hear any more about purgatory. Indeed, this is still Fatima, that for those who die unrepentant, estranged from God, they are punished with the eternal pains of hell. Again, I am told, and this is part of my job for the Holy See, to find out. I am told that in one religion program after another, ostensibly Catholic, directors of religious education are told, don't you dare mention hell to young children. Well, they don't come much younger than Francisco and Jacinta. They go on, still contrasting Lourdes and Fatima. Fatima thus repeats what was the first message of the first Vicar of Christ in the first homily he preached on Pentecost Sunday. When the people asked, what must we do? He said, repent. Consequently, Fatima, unlike Lourdes, which has its own purpose, but Fatima's function is to bring into limelight what the modern world so desperately needs to know, that sin is widespread, that sin is deeply offensive to God, that sinners will be punished already in this life to repent, and the life to come in purgatory and even in hell. That purgatory and hell exist. All of this couldn't be clearer and surely a distinctive feature of Fatima as different from the Lord. Now the central message. The central message of Fatima is prayer. For the first time in the Church's history of approved Marian revelations, never before, the Blessed Virgin identified herself as Our Lady of the Rosary. Never before. Of course, she had been thus honored, but she had never before thus identified herself. On May 13th, 1917, that should report that Our Lady urged the daily recitation of the Rosary. On June 13th, she urged the addition to each decade of the Rosary the following invocation, which I got from my rector in Rome. This is his wording of the invocation to be added to each decade of the Rosary. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Deliver us from the fires of hell. Take all souls, meaning all souls in purgatory, to heaven, especially those who are most in need. That's my English translation of what I got from my Belgian Italian speaking director. On July 13th, the Blessed Virgin is reported to have said to say the Rosary each day in her honor as Our Lady of the Rosary for peace in the world. The most belligerent century in human history. The century in which more millions have died as casualties of war than in all the wars of previous history before. Prayer. Daily prayer to Our Lady of the Rosary for peace. On August the 19th, Our Lady of the Rosary again identified herself as such and prays to come. Pardon me. Promised to come in October. On September the 13th, this promise was repeated that Our Lady of the Rosary will come. Then finally, as she did at Lourdes, I am at Lourdes, the Immaculate Conception, at Fatima, I am the Lady of the Rosary. And the Church, especially the popes, have identified the word Lady used by Mary as Queen. hears, I quote, from the October 13th Revelation. Continue to say the rosary every day. The central message of Fatima, therefore, is prayer. Specifically, the rosary to be joined with repentance for one's own and other people's sins, with an emphasis on the practice of reparation by the acceptance of suffering to appease the divine majesty and save souls that would otherwise be lost. Now, some implications for the modern world. There are three main implications of Fatima. First, prayer. Prayer to Our Lady to obtain from her the grace of conversion of sinners. Second, penance as reparation for the sin by those who are themselves striving after sanctity. Notice, this is crucial. The penance emphasized by Our Lady of Fatima, on which now volumes have been written, and I can safely say thousands of words have been spoken by the vicars of Christ. Listen, penance by those who are striving after sanctity to expiate and make reparation for the sins of other people. In other words, that people might grow in holiness, so their sanctity might expiate the sins of others. And finally, perseverance in the practice of virtue. High virtue, I repeat, this is the message. It is prayer practiced with a high virtue. Prayer practice with suffering in order to expiate the sins of others. Our Lady made sure that those three children were very innocent themselves. And as you know, two of them, their cause has already been approved. Listen, children, 7 and 10 years old. Again, for the first time in the Church's history of hagiology, two little children have been declared as having practiced heroic virtue. Their cause is already introduced, and in fact, they have been declared officially venerable. And will likely be soon beatified and canonized. On each of these three levels, I have no doubt that what Our Lady is telling us, beyond the level of personal implications, is that no ordinary prayer, no ordinary penance, no ordinary practice of virtue is enough. Not today. Given the enormity of the sin, there must be an enormity of prayer. extraordinary degree of penance and nothing less than heroic sanctity and fidelity to the will of God. The one word that I have come to speak at now Marian congresses in different parts of the country. The one word that I keep using is heroism. Only heroic beasts, only heroic priests will survive. Ordinary priests will not make it today. Only heroic religious will make it. And this being my 22nd year in working for the Sacred Congregation of Religious, I can prove it. Only heroic religious institutes will survive. Since the close of Vatican II, over 800 new, brand new religious institutes have come into existence. Why? Because hundreds of religious institutes are disappearing in the Catholic Church, and many in our own beloved United States. What's the implication of Fatima? That only heroic laity among the faithful in the Church, only heroic families will make it. To stem the tide, not only in holding firm and surviving, but watch it, this is Fatima, that by our heroism, we might expiate, make reparation for, and thus obtain the conversion of such widespread evil as has never plagued the world before. And why? Because we've entered the age of modern social communications . The devil and his human minions have such power over human beings as never before in the history of the world. In a word, this is Fatima. We are to become more and more holy like Mary, and have no doubt, I mean every syllable I'm saying, we must be heroic priests, heroic religious, heroic faithful, like the valiant woman who stood under the cross on Calvary, in order to win the salvation of millions of souls redeemed by the blood of her Son. Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Mercy, Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.